Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. We are in Mississippi, and when you're in Mississippi, you got to have a podcast show with John Mayo. Just because we slayed him last year, literally, it was crazy good. So let's fire up. How's fishing been down here in Mississippi?
So it is the end of May. We are just ending the spawn. We still have a few fish. Male fish are still on some stumps in some lakes. Grenada fish are still pretty shallow right now, 3 to 7 foot of water. You go to Enid, most of the fish are completely done spawning, and they've moved out, moving to a summer pattern out in deeper water. And then Sardis is about half and half. Half of the fish have moved to open water, half are still in the timber, a lot of males still sitting on some stumps. Right. We actually caught 5 fish off one stump today.
Yep.
Looked at the next 200 stumps, didn't see a fish. So.
Talk about, you talked about summertime patterns, so we'll just jump into it for the people that want to find out how you would catch fish in the summer if you're fishing the big three.
So, you know, live scopes become a big thing. We chase them in wide open water.
Right.
Fishing's really good right now in Enid Lake. You know, here at the end of May, they seem to spawn a little earlier, so they moved to a summer pattern. We're catching fish anywhere from 24. Actually caught 2 fish the other day in 44 foot of water.
Wow.
Now, with that being said, on a cloudy day, you may catch them as shallow as 3 foot in the water column. There'll be some up in the water column. And then next fish you may catch may be 16 foot deep. So there's no real pattern on depth. That's kind of reason I've got 2 rods here we're going to talk about.
Okay.
And I kind of always, when I have someone here in the boat with me, I always have 2 rods. And that way when we see a shallower fish, I cast an 1/8 ounce jig.
Right.
Next fish you may catch may be a deeper fish, and I'll go to a 1/4 ounce jig just simply because that 1/8 ounce jig won't fall fast enough.
All right. Well, talk about the rods that you brought. You just might as well start with the lures first, because you were talking about the size of the lures. So.
Right.
So tell us, like, the jig head. And.
So this has become my favorite casting rod. It's a B&M Sam Super Sensitive 7'2", 2-piece rod. Using a crappie magnet rule, monkey milk, chartreuse, you know, monkey milk's water's extremely clear. The head I have on here, a buddy of mine makes it, Jamie, it's simply crappie. I call it a bullet head, and I don't know that you can see, but it's shaped almost like a bullet, and really falls true and really, really fast. You can cast this jig compared to a round ball head jig.
Right.
This jig will beat a round head jig by 3 or 4 foot for us dropping faster.
And then the shaft of the hook goes back farther. Is that correct? Is that the theory behind that jig?
It is. So it goes back a little bit further, gets it a little bit further back in the bait. It's got a Mustad steelhead hook in it, probably the best hook, in my opinion, out there. This rod here is the exact same rod. B&M 7'2", Sam Super Sensitive. I have an 1/8 ounce tungsten head on here.
Right.
Again, have a black and chartreuse crappie magnet root.
Right.
So on a dark, cloudy day, kind of we had a real foggy morning this morning, I'll go to the black and chartreuse, a little darker color. As the sun comes out, clears up, we'll transition over to a monkey milk color. So that's the reason I brought those 2 colors. But this right here has been just dynamite. I mean, I went the other day, and we had 20 fish limit by 9 o'clock.
Right.
We've been on Sardis trying to locate some bigger fish.
Right.
They are extremely scattered. I fished some water today, 30 foot right out in the middle of the lake, and actually caught 3 pretty good, probably the best fish of the day out there. And then came back to the timber, and we caught a few spawned out females, but mostly males, garden nests, stuff like that.
Right.
A lot of them weren't on timber, but they were just out from the timber, probably 20, 30 feet off the timber. And but as that sun comes up, they'll go back to the timber. So really sensitive as cloudy sky, sunny sky right now. Enid's fishing phenomenal. Just my opinion. I've grown up here my entire life. Enid is my home lake. my opinion, it's got more fish per acre than any of the three lakes. And fish down there, believe it or not, right now, you catch a lot of them that have spawned out. They're pretty poor. But also catching some pretty good-looking fish down there, you know. But that's what's going on.
And that's kind of how you pick, like, where you're guiding, right? You're going to go to the reservoir because you do all three, right?
I do. So, you know, a lot of our customers are repeat clients every year. One of the first things I ask them, you want to catch a big fish, you want to try to catch a bunch of fish?
Right.
90% of the time, you know, February, March, everyone wants to come chase a big one. This time of year, they want to try to go catch numbers. So a lot of times we will go to Enid Lake. Now, Sardis is going to transition probably in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Water temp this morning was 78. Degrees.
So that would be at the end of June, before the end of June.
I'm going to say second, third week of June, you're going to start seeing fish back out over the river channel, main lake points, getting into what I call a summer pattern, getting back out to the deeper water like they always do. July, they will be back down at the dam. Last year was, we whacked them in front of the dam.
Right.
So it was, you know, I expect them, water's extremely clear, so I see them transitioning just soon as they hatch out.
Right.
These males leave the nest, and, you know, on Sardis right now, you've got fish that spawn in main lake coves back in creeks.
Yeah.
So they've moved out. There's no timber for them other than brush tops, stake beds to get in, so they've moved out to deeper water. Then you've got fish that spawned early have moved out into the upper two-thirds of the lake, and then you have the fish that have just spawned or guarding nest in the upper third of the lake. So it's kind of segregated right now as to where all of the fish are at. And I think Enid, a lot of the fish have moved out to deeper water. The one thing we have seen, just because you catch them at one spot on Enid today don't mean they're going to be there tomorrow. They are moving up and down what we call the dredge channel. It's no secret. It's a straight channel they dredged years ago, runs right down the middle of the lake. And it starts right out from number 6 at what we call the dumping grounds, just west of Billy's Creek. And these fish are running up and down that dredge channel in their shad everywhere. And they are just strictly out there, you know, feeding, chasing shad. So if the shad move, if the wind blows out of the west, which it did yesterday, the fish were further. I had a buddy of mine, Guy, down there. The fish were further west today. So it may have blown a lot of the bait further down the lake. Tomorrow, they may be 500 to 1,000 yards back east. You never know. Every day is a little different. Put the trolling motor down, cover as much water as you can.
So talk about presentation. You talked about the rod and what you use. Talk about presentation, because you're casting these. Talk about how you're going to have, you know, a client come in or how you do it, because I've been in the boat and you spanked them last year. Like, literally, I don't remember how fast we had our limit, like, in no time.
We got back down for breakfast that morning.
The eggs were still warm.
So way I do it, I'm going to give you three different scenarios.
Okay, all right.
And it changes daily. You've got to figure out what the fish want, and it may change within the day. It may be cloudy in the morning, then the sun comes out.
Right.
Once that sun comes out, a little more visibility, they may be a little more eager to chase.
Right.
So what I like to do, I scan out. I run an 8616 Garmin, LVS 34. I look out 80 foot when I'm looking for a fish, and I travel about 2.4, 2.5 mile an hour on the trolling motor. It's a pretty good speed. And once I locate the fish, I'll start zooming in, and I like to get the fish within 30 foot. I like them around that 25, 30-foot range. One of the things I can tell you is get the fish, I like them about 27 foot is perfect. I know I've cast so many times to 30 foot, I know exactly where that's at. If I cast just a foot or two past it, you'll start seeing it when it comes on the screen. A lot of days, let the bait drop down to the fish, reel it across their head, and, you know, once you get it to them, twitch it a few times. The key is do not stop reeling. Don't think you're going to stop and shake it or anything like that. You've got to constantly reel. If anything, speed up on your retrieve. A lot of times those fish will turn and chase it. The second scenario, one of my favorites, I will cast past them. Try to get 4 or 5 foot past them, cast past them.
Right.
And you'll see the jig on screen. I like to pull the jigs completely vertical over them and just open the bail and let it free line down to them. When they're eating it that way, a lot of times it is, I mean, they just like it dropped straight on them. Third scenario, a lot of times you will see fish in a school.
Right.
This is going to sound crazy, but I like to catch the farthest fish back in the school. You'll see a lot of fish, 3, 4 to a school, 5 to a school. Later on, we'll see 8, 10, 15 to a school. A lot of times here in the last couple of days, I've noticed the bigger fish is in the back of the school. I don't know why.
Right.
I don't know if it's the way we're approaching the fish. Don't know what the reasoning is. But it seems like I can catch that back fish, reel it above the rest of them, and then start picking them off from the back. I have better success picking them off from the back of the school than I do the front of the school.
All right.
That's just my opinion. You know, we're a bunch of rednecks down here.
You usually have coolers full of crappies, so I don't. We tend to believe that we have no problem believing the bigger ones.
We had a really good
there.
Day today. Caught some really big fish. I don't know. We had 3 or 4, over 2 pound fish today that we released. And we come in really early because we're getting ready for a fish fry here at the compound. But had a really good day. I think right now we're going back to Enid tomorrow.
Right.
Got a pretty good report from there today from a buddy of mine that guides with us. If we can get on the fish when we get there in the morning, we should be gone with 25 within 2 hours. It's really, really good right now. But it's changing day to day. You know, the other day I went, I've been here so many days, I don't even know what day. But probably around Sunday we went, it may have been Sunday we went down there. And started toward the dam. Out from the state park, number one, if anybody knows where Enid is at, started out on the Dredge Channel. And I probably fished 30 minutes and never saw a keeper fish.
Wow.
I literally picked my trolling motor up, run down the lake to the mouth of Long Branch, which is about the middle of the lake, the area I've been fishing, right back out on the Dredge Channel, probably, half mile down the lake, and literally caught them as fast as you could catch them.
Wow.
So, you know, just any, you know, just because you don't see them where you saw them the day before, they're out there. They just got done spawning. They're out there chasing shad and trying to feed up.
Tell us about the regulations on the big three. Now, you can take Archie Butler out of the picture.
Right.
I know I took a picture of, you know, they have the sign up there, and it has the big four, of course. Right. It has the one, and some guy put a note like, this is like 2-year-old information. I'm like, what the Mississippi Department of Wildlife has not changed. Right. I guess they anticipate that they should just leave it that way, but they changed it. How many years ago did they change the length limit and how many you can keep?
So length limit has been changed a while. So growing up, at one time we had no length limit whatsoever.
Really?
Then we went to a 10-inch length limit. That's probably been 15, 18 years ago.
Right.
So right now we're on it has to be over 12 inches. That's the key. It has to be over 12 inches. Some things you read said must be 12 inches. They have to be over 12 inches. And you can keep 10 fish per angler up to a boat limit. 3 or more anglers can have 25 per boat.
Okay.
So, you know, everyone wants to come to Mississippi. It's kind of become the mecca of crappie fishing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you catch these fish we're catching down here. I'm going to say our fish were probably 1.5 to 2 pound average today. You catch, you know, 20 of those, that is plenty of fish for someone to cook. So I think it's been a really good thing. I know since live scoping has come out, we had some buddies of ours come out with Crappie Forever, a tag program about releasing fish. I think when we started that, I tagged a lot of fish. Some of my good friends that are guides also tagged a lot of fish in Grenada. I think it brought attention to maybe releasing a big fish. Went really well. We've got plenty of tagged fish in our lakes now that they're tracking. But it brought attention, you know. And I know people come down here. You know, we're kind of spoiled. We get to catch several big ones a year.
Right.
But if you're not going to mount the fish, you know, a giant, you know, 3-pound fish, you know, upper twos.
Right.
You know, it's like a big deer. It's not that good to eat. It's not that we're trying to keep more fish in a lake. We are trying to keep the genetics in these lakes.
Right.
These lakes have been here for so long. We've got some of the best genetics in the country, without a doubt. We're just trying to keep that old school big fish genetics in these lakes. Sardis probably had, and they will cycle, you know, depending on high water year, stuff like that. Sardis this winter and early spring probably had some of the best trophy class fish that it's had in a while. Several 3-pounders caught, numerous 3-pounders. I don't know how many we caught, but numerous. Best day I had, I caught 3 3-pounders off Sardis.
Wow.
We released all of them. You know, so it just brings awareness to people. Hey, you know, take what you want to eat and release the rest. So that's been a good thing. You know, with the new technology we've got, it's more of a hunting than it is fishing now. You just have to find them. And once you get good at it, figure out what the fish want, what they want to eat that day, and you can pretty well catch them.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the biggest things is, you know, take what you want to eat and release the big fish. Hopefully they will spawn. They say a lot of your older fish, as they get older, will not spawn. But the way I look at it, if only 10 of them survive, you know, we've got that genetics in these lakes. They are working on Arco Butler as we speak. Still going to be several years. Trees are probably 20 foot tall in the lake bottom. Really hoping they take that lake. A lot of what I've looked at as far as bass fishing, a lot of your trophy, a lot of your lake records, state record fish have come out of lakes the first 10 years once they were open. I do know for a fact there are still some of the original fish. They're catching them in sloughs up the Coldwater River, off the river. So if we ever get a big rain, get the lake flooded again, some of that original genetics hopefully will get back into the lake. But hope the state of Mississippi will look at it as a trophy fishery, to kind of manage it that way. It was my favorite lake out of the four, without a doubt. Was the toughest of the four.
Yeah.
But when you got it, when you got there on the right day, it was special.
Right.
It was just, it was, in my opinion.
Phenomenal.
Yes. Yeah. In my opinion, there was no other lake in the country that could compete with it.
Wow.
When it was at its peak.
We'll get some rain, fill it up, we'll be good to go.
You know, I've been fortunate enough to catch some 4-pound fish.
Right.
And all of mine have come off of Arco Butler.
Oh, really?
All of them but one. And I remember I've got 2 fish mounted. I won't never forget it long as I live. Me and my dad were there. I was probably 12, 13 years old. We pulled up to a willow tree, and I dropped on the left. I can remember it like it just happened today. I dropped on the left. He dropped on the right. And this is old school jig fishing. I mean, the only electronics we had was boat paddle. And he set the hook, and I set the hook at the same time. We got him in the boat, and we looked at each other, and I've got those 2 fish mounted. One of them weighed 3-pound 14 ounces. One weighed 3-pound 12 ounces.
Wow. Now,
that was back in the day we didn't have scales. We carried we carried them to the grocery store and weighed them on the meat scale. But I won't forget that long as I live.
Wow. That's quite a trip right there.
Well, you know, it was special, that's for sure.
Yep. Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft baits. So any time to game fish that you're trying to catch, they have a lure that you can catch them on. Of course, we're down here in Mississippi, and everyone's been talking about Pico crankbaits and trolling Pico crankbaits. They got 42 different color patterns. And I think when you're down here, black, orange are like two hot colors. If you got a crankbait's got that color, you're going to catch some crappie on them.
The hot bait. And of course, I haven't been pulling crankbaits, but we've got a couple boats here that are trolling. Yellow with a black splatterback is probably the top bait from what
I hear. Top bait. Yeah, they love those splatterbacks. And beach balls have been hot, but please do not buy any more beach balls because I'm saving them for me. So hopefully, Mitch, you're listening and you put some aside for me. Otherwise, if you want to find out more about their lures, go to picolures.com. Also, B&M Poles. B&M Poles are Sam Super Salty. Actually, come out of B&M Poles, and they have a whole line, a kind of a series of Sam Super Salties that the guys are using the Sam Super Salty casting rod, 7.5 foot, for trolling planer boards and for trolling for crappie. And they're also using the Gunner, which is a catfish rod, but works great for planer boards. So you can check them out. You can check out, they have all kinds of one-pole rods that you, like one-poling rods that you use. Is there one that you like the most of the one-poling rods?
Single-poling rod, you know, I've tried a lot of them. I've got two favorites.
Okay.
Super shallow fish, cold weather, the B&M BGJP 18 foot. That's kind of what we come out for it for, was super shallow fish, wintertime, muddy water, stationary fish. You can run lightweight, light jig. That's my favorite fish on ultra shallow, calm days.
Okay.
And then the B&M Black Diamond 18 foot. You know, when you go to Grenada, come to Sardis, winter, early spring, looking for a big one. That's what you want to have in your hand.
All right, there you go. They have a whole line of rods, but you can check out the ones he likes and uses at bnmpole.com. John, if they want to find out more, they want to go fishing with you, where would they go?
You can look us up on Facebook, JH Guide Service. You can look me up on Facebook. I'm also on Facebook, John Mayo. And just give us a call, and we're already booking trips for next spring. It fills up pretty fast.
Better get going.
It does.
All right. Well, that ends the show. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.